We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Clint Sterner, joined by Pro Bowl offensive lineman Wade Smith. H-Town, it's time for 5 o'clock fire, baby. It is Pro Bowl week. I just told you I got a Pro Bowler sitting in the studio with me right now. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl that's coming up. Obviously, you got Laremy Tunsil that's out there. You got Deshaun Watson that's out there. You guys, Hop out there?
No, Hop is not out there. Remember, he broke his rib, man.
Oh, that's right.
He played the game with a broken rib.
He played with a broken rib, so he can't do the Pro Bowl.
And he balled as well.
You think he's out there enjoying the festivities?
Who's that, Hop?
Hop.
Nah, Hop probably up somewhere chilling, bro. I mean, nothing against Orlando, but that's not really a destination location. Like, I'm
fair enough. Yeah,
look, like that. It's a very family friendly environment, which is great for the Pro Bowlers and the guys that are there. But if I'm in the off season, I'm not saying, you know what, let me book this first flight to Orlando. That just
I'm having a hard time adjusting. I'm a Pro Bowl in Hawaii age guy. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, for my entire life, it was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Anyway, that game, NFC versus AFC. Pro Bowl is Sunday the 26th at 2 p.m. Be a good time to watch a couple of your favorite Houston Texans go out there and do their thing. Deshaun Watson. This is what I'm excited about, Wade.
What's that?
Deshaun Watson. The Pro Bowl Skills Showdown is tonight, baby. Okay. 8 o'clock tonight. The Pro Bowl is not till Sunday.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to watch. I just love watching guys have fun. Some people that want to bitch and complain, that Pro Bowl, they don't even play hard. Okay, that's cool. Get your friends. Get your family. Load the ice chest up with Coors Light and have a good time.
Yeah.
They'll let your hair down a little bit, will you?
Don't they usually win, like, vehicles or money and something for winning the skills challenge or whatever?
Oh, back to the skills challenge.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know exactly what all they can win.
Something, man.
But Wade, the skills challenge is awesome, and I love watching it regardless. But I think it's something that I probably watch a little bit too seriously. I think the skills challenges that Deshaun Watson will be doing tonight, it kicks off at 8 o'clock, by the way. Him and Lamar Jackson, they're the two participating AFC quarterbacks. They'll be paired against Russell Wilson and
Kirk Cousins.
That'll be your competition quarterbacks tonight. But seriously, I mean, I'm not trying to build this up. I personally enjoy the hell out of it. I personally enjoy watching, because if a guy can't do certain things, you mentioned it earlier, Wade. Mitchell Trubisky had a hard time from about 10 or 12 yards away throwing a ball over about looked to be probably a 10 foot high, maybe, piece of glass.
It was a plexiglass wall
that
was probably about 10 to 11 feet tall.
Yeah, and he was throwing over that, and Evans,
Mike Evans
was standing probably 2 or 3 yards behind it, and you had to throw it over and get it the tip to turn over, and a good technically sound quarterback that's not all power and no finesse would have no problem doing that.
Easy money.
But Mitchell Trubisky had a hard time doing it. He's a big, powerful arm. He's a big power guy. He drives through everything. The touch is a little bit suspect as you talk in terms of NFL quarterbacks. And it exposed him. So, Wade, the reason that I get so excited about watching the skills comp at the Pro Bowl, one, they've done a hell of a job of incorporating receivers.
Yeah.
They've done a hell of a job of taking it from just the golf cart running a target across the field to throwing at spinning wheels that are way up in the air and the ball busts through the paper. And so it's fun to watch, but if you got two quarterbacks in the AFC who their accuracy's been doubted. Hell,
yes.
Lamar Jackson's been doubted every aspect of playing the position.
Indeed.
I mean, give me a break, right? And so these are two guys that, it's competition. Yeah, they may win a truck, whatever. But I got to believe, I know Deshaun Watson, as competitive as he is, one, he's going out there to win. But two, he's going out there to prove a point that he's as accurate, if not more accurate, than anybody in the league. And all joking aside, these types of competitions in 2020 can generate buzz about a player's ability to throw the football.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier today about the fact that if a guy like Dan Orlovsky or Tony Romo or just various media guys that are quarterbacks see a great performance out of Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, they can start changing that narrative of people that watch them play and say, you know what, these are guys that are just athletes and they're not accurate and they can't make the throws that a quarterback would normally make. You know, we know seeing Deshaun Watson play week in, week out, that he can make and he does make all the throws. This is just another opportunity to kind of to show people what he has in his repertoire and the fact that he is an accurate passer to kind of dispel some of those myths. And when those guys start saying that throughout their telecasts going forward, then people that listen to that will take that in and say, okay, these guys are special quarterbacks that can do things with their arm as well as their legs.
Yeah, look, here's some of the competitions, Wade. Thread the Needle. This is really cool right here because it adds DBs.
Okay.
They're adding DBs to the mix. This is a new challenge. So if you hadn't watched it, I mean, if you watched it last year, it wasn't part of. This is a new one. You'll see this year. Again, it's tonight at 8 o'clock. Deshaun Watson.
It's on NFL Network or ESPN?
It's on ESPN.
Okay.
It's on ESPN. It's this is a new challenge that puts defensive backs to the test in a head-to-head competition. Defensive backs will try to stop the opposing team's quarterback from completing passes through certain targets.
Okay.
So I don't know how they're going to line them up and make them decide, you know, like read the quarterback's eyes and which direction he's going to throw it, and he's got to break early and all that. But very interested to see, because DBs, look, man, let's be honest. DBs in sports, those are the best athletes in sports. Like, yeah. Just generally speaking, earlier, Westbrook is one of the most unbelievable athletes in all of sports. I don't care what you're talking about. But if you're talking about like a position that requires the athletic ability that you just – flat ass can't play that position if you don't have that ability.
Yeah.
Cornerback is one of them. So that puts the DBs involved. The best hands, which is two wide receiver QB duos from each conference, they'll compete in timed relay races. What that is where the receiver will have to run and get on a dot behind an object or in front of an object, or there's one where they got to make a one-hand catch. They got to make the catch over the shoulder. They got a toe drag.
Yeah.
But they can't leave that dark spot on the field
in
the process of making that catch. And so, man, it's I'm just stoked about the fact that it's quarterbacks out there doing it, and you got guys like Deshaun Watson that I think literally can create some serious buzz around the league if they do well.
Yeah, and we joked earlier about the validity of Pro Bowlers and the Pro Bowl in general and the guys that actually are there. But when you have three of the top, you know, six to eight quarterbacks in the NFL at this event, when you got Deshaun and you got Lamar and you got Russell Wilson, that's something to get excited about to watch and see those guys go to work when it comes to these skills challenges. I'm glad you told me about it, because normally I kind of tune out. I don't really pay that much attention to it. But I do want to see this, first of all, because Deshaun's there. I want to see how he does. I want to see how Lamar Jackson does and how they compete against Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins. And so Kirk Cousins is more of a prototypical type of quarterback. And Russell Wilson, even though he has the ability to run the ball, he's more of a guy that's going to be in the pockets and make all the throws. So it's interesting to see how those guys stack up against one another in the competition.
I think Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson are two guys that you can say, look, they get mad respect for their ability to distribute the football from the pocket, right? And I don't know that Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson are not mad respect. I don't even know that they get the respect they deserve relative to what they're capable of. And I think Deshaun is one that – it's a no-brainer. It's just a matter of time before he gets there and people put him on that pedestal. I think Lamar Jackson is a guy that you go, can he or can he? I've seen a lot of good. I've seen flashes throughout the season of him dissecting a defense. There's no doubt there's some crazy arm talent there. But can you stand tall in the pocket and accurately drive the football down the field and do it consistently in a position, in an environment where there's no chaos around you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just chilling. You're having fun. Elite quarterbacks in this league, elite passers of the football, generally speaking, can do that over. They can do it in their damn sleep.
Yeah.
And so I'm anxious to see Lamar Jackson definitely tonight. The other part of it, the other big story, I think, is that the Rockets got a dub last night, Wade.
They needed it too.
Did they ever, man?
Four straight games in the West.
Yeah.
You start dropping in the standings. They needed to get a win. That was a big win for the Rockets.
Yeah, wait, and they lost them in disappointing fashion. One of them was to the Lakers without AD. One of them was giving up a huge lead in the fourth quarter with 6+ minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You dominate a game, then you give up the lead, and then you end up giving up the game. And there was just some. There's a lot of controversy swirling around D'Antoni and Harden and Westbrook, and can they get it together? Can they figure things out? There's some things that I took from that game, though, Wade. One thing, there ain't no doubt about it, Eric Gordon's impact on this team is legit.
Yeah, man, 6-for-8 from the three-point line. What he does, he spreads the field, provides spacing. Spreads the field. He spreads the court and provides space.
I know what you mean.
To
man.
All of the, yeah, but I like to make sure I'm on point when it comes to that. But yeah, he spreads the court, and when he's out there on the court, he makes a huge difference. I liken him to the Will Fuller of the Houston Rockets
because
he's missed over half the games this year. You saw the Rockets were struggling early on in the year. You were completely dependent on James Harden and the game that he had. That would determine if they could win the game or not. But you get Eric Gordon in there, that extra option that can hit his own, he can create his own shot. He also can hit the open three. That's a huge factor. And that's why they won the game running away. That's why the game wasn't close, is because you had guys like Eric Gordon and Austin Rivers hitting open threes and hitting threes. When you have that in addition to what Westbrook and Harden brings, now you got a team that can compete with the big boys.
Yeah, Wade, you know, Westbrook's offense is to me, when Harden's off the floor, is really, really impressive. A lot of ball movement, a lot of screening, a lot of rolling, a lot of moving without the ball. The Capella concern is still a major concern for me, though, man. I just don't see it. I don't see the skill set being enough that when these bigger bodied teams that are in the West, when they start expanding to defend the Rockets' 3-point approach.
Yeah.
This is the way the league's changing. Capella needs to have more of an offensive repertoire, and he just doesn't have it. He doesn't have that. When I see him play, he doesn't even want to have it. He doesn't even try, and that concerns me moving forward for the Rockets.
I tell you what, man, Capella is one of those guys that it's come to the point where you need to make a decision. Like, is it a guy that you need to move, or do you feel like you can get more out of him and he can be more of an offensive threat? I'd be of the mind that says, you know what, you need to move him and try to get somebody else in here that can provide that for you. He's a young piece. But we'll see what happens with the Rockets. But as is, I just don't see him being that offensive threat inside that you need to go on long playoff runs for the future years to come.
Wade, there was a young phenom that the world's been watching for a long time now, man. He made his debut last night. And, boy, was it special. Boy, was it impressive. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610. Joined by Wade Smith, Pro Bowl offensive. That's right, it's Pro Bowl week. I got a Pro Bowler in the building with me. Hello.
All right, let's get it, baby.
Hello. Wade, Zion Williamson. I think the world – I can't think of a player – now, there's been some – obviously, LeBron – you know, there's been some baseballers, some footballers that come out, man, and you anticipate opening night. And they go out there and do that thing. You get your little taste of them and you move on.
Yeah.
This Zion Williamson thing, man, has been going on for months and months and months since the Pelicans first drafted him, made the moves that sent AD to L.A. and put their team together. Man, I don't even know where to start with this guy's the performance last night. I know this. I know I'm sitting in a at the Rockets game last night, and a guy behind me says, Pelicans are playing. They're 5 minutes gone in the first quarter, and Zion has 0 points.
Yeah.
So Zion Williamson made his pro debut last night, and all eyes, including people in the Toyota Center, watching the Rockets and the Denver Nuggets, they had their eyes on the Spurs and the Pelicans game to see what Zion Williamson was doing.
Yeah.
The Pelicans are 3.5 games out of the 8th spot, okay? They're getting beat up on pretty good, I believe, by the San Antonio Spurs. Go Spurs. Appreciate another Texas team out there doing their thing. They're getting beat up on pretty good. Zion got has a little bit of a slow start, but my man catches his wind in the fourth quarter. Wade, he throws up 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He's 4-for-4 from the three-point line. And let me remind you, they were getting skull drug at this point.
Yeah.
He brings them back to where this game is in reach. Hell, the Spurs ended up winning 121-117. He scores 17 points in the fourth quarter. The shots mattered. The time mattered. And he gave his team a chance to win. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. With 5 minutes and 23 seconds left in a tight ball game.
Yeah.
With the Spurs in his debut in the NBA, they hit a timeout and comes over and the coach pulls him out of the game.
Got to sit down.
Hit that 18-minute limit. Doctors, coaches sat down before the game and said 18 minutes was the limit. He hit that 18 minutes mark. The coach pulls him out of a game. 5:23 left. He had put up 22 points in the game, 17 in that quarter. He was hotter than a firecracker. And coach says, hey, man, you got to come over here and sit down with me. Guess what happens? Spurs go on and win the game. Yeah. Pelicans lose. His team loses.
I tell you what, man, that goes against everything that is in an athlete's mind,
yes,
in nature, their competitive spirit of, hey, I'm playing, I'm helping my team win, I want to stay in there and get it done. But the smart thing to do and the thing that sometimes you got to protect the player from himself is, you know what, you have this minute restriction. We're going to keep it. You're going to hold you to this. We're going to make sure that we monitor you and have you there for the long haul. And so now he has to sit, and his team can't come out with the W. That has to be frustrating. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure you have this guy for years and years to come. You don't want to overuse him. But for him to have 4-for-4 from the three-point line, nobody looked at Zion Williamson this year and thought to themselves, he's going to be a guy that can hit the three on a consistent, yeah, basis. I guess he was working on something while he was hurt over this time. And maybe it was a blessing in disguise for his game for him to say, you know what? I got to work on my outside shot. I got to work on when I'm jumping, landing safely. And because this is the most explosive guy, most powerful guy, the combination of size and speed in the NBA, and probably has been to this point in the NBA. And so when your body goes through that much stress, you got to make sure you figure out ways to take care of it. And so load management got to Zion here, and he had to sit. But he put up a hell of a performance in his first debut, and Twitter was blowing up, man. Everything was going nuts with people saying, like, Zion is the truth. It was good to see for him, and I know the Pelicans fans are excited about that.
Wade, there was a few things that I took away from the game, that in a game where they lost, right? They it was a debut game where he lost, and because of load management, he gets pulled out in a tight game, and they end up losing, right?
Yeah.
I took a lot of good from it, though, man. First and foremost, Jalen Rose,
yeah,
made this point this morning.
What'd he say?
Dude scored 22 points. He said, I never thought that I would say this about Zion Williamson. He scored 22 points without a dunk. 22 points without a dunk, bro.
That's saying something now. That's saying something because that's what he's known for. That's, he's going to catch a oop. He's going to take the ball. You know, go to the right, and he's going to have a great first step, get to the bucket, and yam on you. That's Zion Williamson. For him to put up 22 points, no dunks, hey, that means his game is becoming more well-rounded. Look out, NBA.
No doubt. That's one. Two, you've been preaching this right here. Obviously, the dude's been working on his three-point shot because the biggest question mark, people were doubting whether this kid could play in the league simply because of his inability to shoot from, not necessarily the three-point line, but shoot from the field, essentially. And he knocks down 4-for-4 from the three-point line. Three, Wade, did you know this is a crazy fact? Did you know he's the third heaviest player in the league?
I did not, man.
Third. Taco Fall, who's about 8'2" tall, he's heavier. And then there's one of the European players it slipped me when I heard the fact thrown out there. It slipped me. But third heaviest player. Dude's an absolute monster. But the last and probably the most impressive thing, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way because it's not, a lot of times it's blown out of proportion. How articulate this dude was after the game, answering that question after being pulled out of a game,
yeah,
blew my mind, man. And not, I mean, look, he's 19.
He's 19 years old.
He's 19. Wait, and dude says, look, man, this is a decision about longevity. This ain't about winning a game tonight. It hurt. I wanted to be in there with my teammates, but, I mean, just the way he said it, I was like, man, I'd have been in there mad as hell. Like, hey, I wanted to be out there with my dude. You know, I'd have been coming off the rails. Yes, that right there. And he was just like, no, hey, man. I mean, 19 years old this dude is.
What it shows me is that he understands the big picture, and he understands that, I'm sure he talks to the doctors all the time and the trainers, and they have a plan. And he's like, you know what, we're going to stick with this plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might lose some ball games that we otherwise might win and vice versa. But we're going to stick to this plan. We're going to stick to the script to make sure that we put Marcel and the team in the best position to be successful. And when you're 19 years old, you don't expect guys to have that purview and that maturity to accept that that's what we're going to have to do to be successful over the long term. So, you know, shout out to him, his upbringing, and he's a Duke guy. A lot of those Duke guys are
Stanford, Duke,
They're smart guys. Somebody on the text line earlier said Kyrie Irving, he says some dumb stuff all the time. And I was like, yeah, he says dumb stuff, but he's very articulate when he does it.
Yeah.
So those Duke guys are very articulate, and they can communicate very, very well.
Speaking of text lines, wait, you ever look at the text line and you go, man, like this kind of text right here, like really it pisses me off for looking at the text line when I read text lines.
What you see, man? What's going on?
Man, the Pelicans game came on after the Rockets game, so I'm not sure how Rockets fans watch the Pels in Toyota. The Pelicans tipped at 8:30, bro. The Rockets tipped at 7.
What is he talking about?
In the second half of the Rockets game, the Pels were underway. I mean, I don't know down to the minute of the game. It could have been 4 minutes in or 8 minutes in. I don't know. But damn, man. Like, how do you pick the phone up and send a text in and you're dead ass wrong? Like, how does that happen?
I mean, you got to think about it. Toyota Center, it's not like as soon as the game, even let's entertain them and say the game came on after, and even though it didn't. Once the game is over, that doesn't mean you leave from the stadium or leave from the arena as soon as the game. As soon as it's over, you got to get your ass up and go. You got to go. The text you were talking about, it said it happened in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
So it lines up, buddy. It's cool, man.
Come on, man. Hey, this text
gets to talking. Well, actually, guy, try to get you sometimes.
That thing gets to talking, and your boy Dirty Red over gets a little worked up. I don't mind being – you ain't got to agree with me, but damn, don't call me a liar. Now, come on now. Wait, another NBA quick thing, quick stat I saw last night that blew my mind. Blew my damn mind. Still blows my mind.
What's that?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, here we go.
I look up at the TV, Wade, and I'm trying to enjoy myself at Toyota Center.
Yeah.
Underneath in the guts down there, where the goods at now?
Yeah, you experienced the game last night in a different manner than most get to.
It's like flying a private jet. It just messes up flying commercial.
Yeah,
for everything.
You ain't gonna want to be with the normal people anymore after that.
Ben Simmons.
Never been to a game the way Clint did last night. I'm sure that was a fun experience.
Look here, I stumble into all kind of stuff, man.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, Chief. Ben Simmons. He has not scored a point from outside the paint since December the 7th.
How is that possible?
That's more than 6 weeks. An NBA All-Star guard that handles the ball all the time.
Your guard.
Has not scored a point in 6-plus weeks outside of the paint. Every point he scored, and I don't know if he scored 8,000 points, but his feet have been in the paint every point he scored. Now, I don't know if this is one thing. I don't know if they played late last night. I don't know. I'm assuming they're Philly. I'm assuming they didn't. He may have scored outside the paint last night. But up until last night, he was 6 weeks into a scoreless drought from outside the paint.
That's ridiculous, dog.
That's hard. I'd have bet $1,000 it was wrong last night.
You would have lost that money, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
I had one glass of wine, and I'd have bet a G on it.
It's hard to believe that Ben Simmons, a guy that plays the guard position, has not made a bucket from outside of the paint for over a month.
A month, bro. It's hard to wrap your head around, man. Look, we're up against it, baby. Houston, we got you for 30 more minutes. There's a fake Bill O'Brien account running around out there that's got this audio clip that is just absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to let you hear that, Houston, right here on Sports Radio 610 next. Joined by Wade Smith. We got you in this last segment. I know it's I know you're headed home. I know it's probably been a long day. Dang, work is a sunbuck, I tell you, man. You got bills to pay. You got to do it.
Hey, you got
to
do what you got to do, baby.
You got to do it. Make sure you're strapped in. Make sure you're tuned in. And turn it up a little bit and let us get you home, why don't you? So, I don't know if you've heard this yet, Wade, but there's a it's a pretty damn good take. There, obviously, everybody's familiar with Bill O'Brien deciding to kick the field goal, not having a fourth down call. We talked about it after the Kansas City game.
Yes.
And, you know, look, apparently there's a fake Bill O'Brien account out there that kind of gave us a little deeper look inside what really happened on the sideline that day. It sounded a little like this.
Big down here, third down.
Timeout, timeout.
21 on third down and nine.
Timeout.
Timeout. Why not?
Timeout.
Deshaun, it's third and nine. Third and nine.
Redirected back.
I don't have a play on fourth, okay? That's too far ahead, okay? Third and nine. We got a timeout here. Throw the ball to Duke.
Third down and nine at the Chiefs 21. And he dumps it off. Johnson, left side across the 15, and Johnson down to the 12-yard line.
He got it! He got it!
He's going to have it, it appears.
He got it!
A check down to Duke, and it looks like they're going to mark him a bit short.
What? Should we challenge? Oh, should we challenge?
We may have to measure this.
Should we challenge?
5%.
I don't have a play!
On third down.
Timeout!
Coach O'Brien's going to roll the dice.
I don't have a play! Timeout!
Watson's calling for the right personnel group. And we're down to 10 seconds
time
on the
out.
Play clock. They're not going to get this off in time.
The ball,
Tim, shut up.
Timeout.
Shut up, Tim. I don't have a play.
For a drive.
Field goal.
I'm okay.
Lead, but right
field
here,
goal.
You're in the red zone. Dre, you're at the 13-yard
field
line.
Goal.
Get it right. Now they're going to bring in Fairbairn. Here's the snap. Here's the spot. Here's
he
the
got
kick.
It.
And it's
he
good.
Got
and
it.
Fairbairn makes it a 24-0 Texans lead.
You suck too, motherfucker.
This is Texans Radio.
Hey, look. That if you can't laugh at that, if you can't at that, something's wrong with you, man.
Shout out to In the Loop, man.
Yes.
They did a great job with that. That was hilarious, dog.
If you can't laugh at that right there, something is wrong with you. I mean, ultimately, obviously, that put the Texans up 24-0. KC came back. But look, I don't care if that would put the Texans up 31-0. The Kansas City Chiefs were coming back. They rattled off 51-7 directly after that. And so, look, if you got to laugh to keep from crying, baby.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, that you put that exactly right. You got to laugh to keep from crying. The Texans had a great opportunity to be playing the following weekend, and everything just fell apart. KC collapsed. But can we change speeds real quick? Because there was something we were supposed to do earlier in the show that we forgot to do. Remember we were talking about the fact that the Astros having to do the apology and things of that nature?
Yes.
We were supposed to be taking calls from the city to see do you need an apology from the Astros. So 713-572-4610. Because I would like to know. I don't know. Do those guys need to give an apology to you? Is that something you need to hear? Or is this something that's like, man, hell no, I don't need to apologize. I want them to go out there and win ball games.
Let's flush this out. Let's flush this coach's take right here out real quick. And then while everybody's calling in, we'll go to the phone lines. No doubt. This Jim Crane announces that the Astros will in some capacity apologize in training camp, and as if they hadn't apologized enough already. Do you feel better? Do you think the Astros should apologize any further than what they have? Would it make you feel better as an Astros fan if they did apologize in a specific way? Call in and let us know. 713-572-4610. The fake Bill O'Brien account that you just heard, unbelievably clever, first of all, but pretty accurate. I mean, we laugh.
They took a lot of words from the transcript and put that in there.
We laugh, and that's pretty accurate, okay? The problem with that is that you got a couple of teams that are going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And that particular offensive coordinator is doing some pretty special things throughout the week. That Kyle Shanahan is a guy that is, I would say he's ahead of the game. I say he's creative. I say he's exotic. I say he's cutting edge. And I believe it's an NFL Films video that caught an interaction between him and a referee, and the video was in the background. If you need to see the video, go to my Twitter account, @ClintSterner. I just retweeted the video at the top of my Twitter feed. It is unbelievable to watch. But what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this video, this clip, this audio clip. I want you to listen to it and just envision the camera being behind the ref and the coach that are talking. And in the distance, you could see this particular play unfold the way that you hear the coach describing it.
5 yard out route, 85 versus their guy. He's going to go inside and break out. He won't let him out. Watch.
Green Bay broke up the shutout, but San Francisco was still in control.
Redner just held him the whole way.
Two flags came down.
Here's why that's significant. First of all, Kyle Shanahan's an absolute badass. I mean, point blank, there ain't no doubt about it. The game plan we watch unfold on the offensive side of the football, hell, the defensive side of the football is great too, but on the offensive side of the football is creative in a way that I don't know that I've seen a run game plan as creative as theirs ever, to be completely honest with you, as exotic and creative. So it's amazing that he can do that. Secondly, it's amazing that he can call plays the way he does, as effective as he does. They threw the ball 8 times in the NFC Championship game and won. Eight times, man. The fact that you call plays and you got the guts to call 8 pass plays in the NFL in 2020 in an NFC Championship game and you win it convincingly tells me you're doing some things right. But when I watch that, immediately, when I watch that, the first thing I thought was this. If your head coach, not head coach, if your offensive coordinator isn't doing things like that, if your offensive coordinator isn't so dialed into what he called, what coverage he's going to get, to the point that he can go down and tap the ref on the shoulder and say, hey, man, watch this tight end right here. He's going to run an out route. Boom, they're going to grab him. It's going to be a third down conversion. It's there should be a penalty, flags. We're going to convert a third down easily. That's cutting-edge NFL football in 2020. That's McVay. That's Shanahan. That's my dude in Green Bay. What's my man's name? LaFleur in Green Bay. That's what those kind of guys do. Bienemy and Reed in Kansas City. If you don't think they're working the refs, you're crazy as hell.
Yeah.
If your head coach, if your offensive coordinator ain't doing those kind of things, you ain't winning in this league, Wade.
I tell you what, man. When you see Shanahan put together a performance like that in the run game, the fact that they were able to run the ball so effectively, only had to pass the ball 8 times. Somebody on the text line earlier was like, how creative is that if you only threw the ball 8 times in a game? Creativity is not restricted to just throwing or running the ball. If you can run the ball in a multitude of ways and be successful doing it, which is what you get out of the San Francisco 49ers, there's creativity in the way those plays are run. But being in tune with what your quarterback is going to do play in and play out, being able to see in advance what's going to happen and then in a matter-of-fact tone walk over to the ref and say, hey, this is about to happen. Watch for it. It was beautiful, man. It just lets you know that he's operating at a different level than most operate at. And that's why you've seen his offenses over the years be consistently some of the better offenses in the league. And that's why part of the reason why they're in the Super Bowl coming up next Sunday.
No doubt about it, Wade. I mean, it's just so beautiful, and it's so frustrating when you're a fan of or when your offensive coordinator isn't doing anything close to that.
Yeah.
And what we just illustrated there is that we're having a hard time finding a 4th-and-1 play, and he's out there drawing third down conversions by telling the ref to throw a flag, by doing everything but pulling the flag out of the ref's pocket and throwing it. So, Wade, we ask a question, man. We ask a question at the top of this segment about the Astros. It just rubbed me wrong, man. It just rubbed me wrong that Jim Crane came out and said that, again, that these guys in the Astros, these guys are the Astros, addressing the need to apologize. And I don't need an apology, man. So I'm just wondering how's the city feel about needing an apology? Let's go to the lines, man. Marcus from the South Side. Marcus, what's going on, baby?
Hey, fellas. First off, I don't give a damn about no apology, but I think it would be a total power move and take Jim Crane to a whole nother level if he apologized to the city of Houston for Bill O'Brien.
Oh, wow. You tricked me. Oh, stop it. You tricked me. Golly, man, come on.
You're getting drive-bys from guys that even talk from different sports, man.
No, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right, let's go over here. Anthony. Anthony, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, Clint? How you doing, Wade?
Well,
listen,
what's up, man?
I don't think that we need to – I don't think that the Astros need to apologize, per se. I think they need to apologize for losing Hinch and Luno. What we do need to acknowledge is, just like the late Gary Eddie Guerrero said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I guess that means that the rest of the league – what we need to do is acknowledge the fact that the rest of the league should have been – should be investigated as well.
They need to be looked at the very least.
I'm
just saying.
Yeah, no, look, here's the deal, man. I think you just nip it in the bud and you move forward. I just – the apology, I'm just not interested in this – in these damn apologies. Andrew, what you got, baby?
Hey, man, I tell you what the Astros really need to do to come out to apologize is come out in 2020 and win the damn World Series. That's it.
I like where your head's at. Look, Altuve's already mentioned that. Andrew, good call, baby. By James. James from Conroe, what's going on?
Hey, not much, guys. I enjoy the show. No, we don't need an apology. You know, this has been widespread going on throughout the league for years and years. Everyone's always trying to have a step up on the next team, from the steroids to the bats to the balls to the popping the pills in the 70s. It goes all the way back. There's always been some team taking advantage of every other team any way they can. And I don't need an apology. I've got season tickets. I'll be at the games this year. Go Astros. Let's do it again.
There you go, James. If you don't use them season tickets, call me, baby. I may grab them from you. John Ruiz from Pasa Get Down Dina. What's going on, baby?
Come on, man. You know where I'm from. I ain't even got to ask you.
That's right.
You know, you're from the Dirty. I'm from the Dina. It's all good right here on the channel. Hey, man, I don't really need an apology for Jim Crane, but I'm just going to say this, man. Right now, to me, Jim Crane, the Astros organization, they're kind of writing the textbook on how you handle big-time scandal, because they're not trying to make excuses. They're not trying to justify what they did. They're not trying to do any of that stuff. He hit it straight on. Altuve's answered your question about the buzzer. So has Bregman. Everything. The detractors can't say nothing right now, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, street lawyers out there, right? Guys trying to look at – they're going to analyze every little thing the Astros say, right? Every little thing they do and say is going to be scrutinized. Everybody's going to try to pick it apart, all this stuff. So they've been just straight to the point. Nobody's really said anything more than what they've had to do. So I don't really question Crane. If he thinks this is the right thing to do right now, every move he's made since this thing broke has been the right move. So let's roll with it, baby. I'm ready for the 2020 World Series.
You're going to be in them seats too, baby. I'm going to be buying tickets. Hey, John, you just came up with something. You need to write a book, or tell Jim Crane to write a book. How do you handle scandal?
Yeah.
Hey, there it is, man. I'm Nipsey Russell right there, bro.
Okay.
I'll write the book on how to handle the scandal.
There you go. All right, baby. Be good, man. Good hearing from you. Tim in downtown. What's going on, baby?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, brother.
Doing good.
I absolutely don't need an apology unless every ball player that's ever cheated to get an advantage stands up and apologizes at the same time.
Hey, look here. I agree with you, Tim. If you're going to do it, that'd be a long press conference if you're going to line them all up and talk to them.
Yep. But, you know, apologizing isn't going to get them off the hook, and nobody's going to accept their apology anyway.
I'm with you, man. Let's just put it behind us and move on. Move on. Thanks for the call,
Tim. Move on. Let's move on and forget all about it.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Mark from Pearland, what's going on?
You know, man, I tell you what, guys. I do think we do need to apologize to the rest of the league. We need to apologize for the rest of the league for this ass whooping we're about to put on everybody this year, man.
Okay.
Oh, you can't – yeah, he can't say that, but I sure enough liked it, baby. I sure appreciate that. Ronnie from the Dirty Bay, Ronnie from Baytown, what do you got, man?
If Pete Rose can apologize, why should the Astros have to apologize?
Look, I agree with you. So you're a no apology guy.
Clint Sternis, Ronnie Boudel. I wouldn't apologize to nobody.
Hey, Ronnie, you ain't never apologized to nobody. Hell, I should have known better. All you had to do was throw Boudel across there. I could have made this phone call for you. Oh, man. Ronnie, man, you're doing good. I hope everything's well, brother. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
You got it. Danny from Cyprus, what's going on? What you got?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Danny?
That's you, man. That's you. You're live. Okay, yeah, you're live.
I'm sorry.
Right now. What you got?
Anyway, no apology. The way I see it, no. The way I see it, go out, play ball, win games. You know, it's like steroids. It does not interfere with your ability to put the bat on the ball.
Ooh.
End of story. Danny, I don't buy it.
Danny,
still have to be able to hit the ball.
Danny, if I know what pitch is coming, I'm gonna be. It's a lot easier to hit that sucker, I'm gonna disagree with you there. I'll agree with you on the hell no apology, Danny. Appreciate the call, my brother. Nathan from Baytown, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Man,
why is this apology?
Baby.
Man, why is this apology even a conversation, man? Jim Crane. I mean, I get what he's trying to do, but, man, come on. You got to know what part of the country you're in, baby. We don't give a crap about what you got to feel about, you know, what we did. Yeah, we did it, but guess what? Y'all doing it too, you know?
That's
we
right.
Just did it better. We got caught. We won. We got caught. And, hey, guess what? I'll trade a head coach and a GM for a ship any day of the week, baby.
That's right. They got to get out of their feelings. They got to get out of their feelings.
Man, they just said the hell with AJ and Luno. We got that ring, baby. I'll trade them for 10 times out of 10.
I'll trade one of the greatest head coaches and one of the greatest GMs for a championship and tell him to beat it. Hey, man, that's how them boys over there in Baytown, that's how they roll, man. Wade, look, we got a couple of minutes, man. I don't get a chance to get in the studio with you tomorrow. This Super Bowl is rolling around the corner.
Yeah,
man, it's look. You talked a little bit earlier about the matchup of Kansas City's offense versus San Francisco's, you know defense. Do you think that if this game is put in, it's a big question. I think across the country, nationally about the Super Bowl. Do you believe in Jimmy Garoppolo's ability? If Kansas City's defense can find a way to stop the run and force this thing into Garoppolo's hands, I think he threw it 8 times last week and 14 times the week before.
Yeah.
Have you seen enough to believe that he can put the team on his shoulders and throw the football to win the Super Bowl?
I think the jury's out. I do like his receiving core. I do like his tight end that he has in Kittle. He has Emmanuel Sanders. He has Deebo Samuel. Like, he has a bunch of guys that can make plays with the skill position. So all he has to do is put the ball in their vicinities. They can make plays. But earlier on in not the second round game, but in the first round game that he was in the divisional round, he was kind of off in his accuracy. So
yeah,
he's going to have to play better. I've seen Garoppolo have some really damn good performances, but am I just totally sold on him being the one that could put the team on his back and win the Super Bowl for the 49ers? I would say no to that, but that's the thing. Can the Kansas City Chiefs stop the 49ers run game? There's absolutely nothing that I've seen out of them that makes me believe that that's going to be the case. The 49ers are going to be able to run the ball on the Kansas City Chiefs. The question is can the Kansas City Chiefs be stopped 3 or 4 series so that the San Francisco 49ers can win the game? Can the San Francisco 49ers defense cause a turnover or two, get the Kansas City Chiefs offense off the field and force them to punt a few times? If they do that, San Francisco, I think, has a market advantage over the Chiefs.
You know what? I think from a strategy standpoint, as I think through it, that's really the only – Kansas City's going to come out balls to the wall, and they're going to sling the ball over the park.
Period.
And,
yeah,
and they're going to have some success. Like you said, can you stop them enough times to give yourself a chance to win the game? If anybody can, it's San Francisco. We'll see. But I think Kansas City's defense, from a strategy standpoint, if they can – it's a big if, but if they can find a way to make it difficult for San Francisco to run the ball well, let's just say on first down,
yeah,
and get Garoppolo into a position where he's got to throw the ball in critical moments of the game on 3rd and 6s, 3rd and 8s, that kind of thing. Strategically, they can load the box. They can play certain defenses to give themselves a chance to stop the run. Now, they're going to be completely susceptible to the pass at that point in time.
Yeah.
But I would rather force Garoppolo to beat me than let Raheem Mostert run for 200 yards and let San Francisco do what they want to do to beat me.
That definitely has to be the plan. The problem for Kansas City is this. The San Francisco 49ers have so much team speed when it comes to the running back position, right. When it comes to Deebo Samuel, guys that they can get out there on the edge, it's going to be very difficult for them to slow down that run game like they were able to do against the Titans, because Derrick Henry is a guy, is once he gets going, he's fast, but he's not a guy that hits the hole fast, and so that caught up with them. They did a good job of stunning against the Titans. But I don't think that's going to be the case in the Super Bowl against the 49ers.
That's it. It's Pro Bowl week. That is Pro Bowl offensive lineman Wade Smith tonight, 8 o'clock. Watch your quarterback. Houston Deshaun Watson is competing in the Pro Bowl skills comp tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. From me, Smitty, my man B-Mac behind the glass, and the entire team 610, we love you. We thank you for listening. Have a good night, Houston.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.